email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning, and our guest this morning is Miss Mary Fullerton. It's good to see you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow.
Amen. I like that. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. For quality work by a company with Christian values, I encourage you to contact Spain's Construction. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all, Mary. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Okay. Father God, we praise you this morning for this privilege, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all of your many blessings and your benefits that you load us with every day. Father, we thank you for your grace and your faithfulness and your mercy unto us. Lord, and we just know, Father, that, Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there am I in the midst. And so, Father, we thank you for your presence today. Lord, we can't do anything without you. And God, we want you to receive all of the glory and all of the praise from what is said today. And Lord, we just ask your anointing to go forth and accomplish what it is sent to do, what your word is sent to do, Lord. And that it would, you say that your word does not return unto you void. So, Father, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of you. And Lord, we ask you, God, to break the yokes and do the work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, and I can't wait to dig in. The Little Foxes That Spoil the Vine.
Yes. You know, it's the little things that cause us trouble sometimes. And I was thinking when I thought of that phrase of scripture, I was thinking that it was maybe one of the examples that Jesus gave, you know, when he was talking in his parables. Mm-hmm. But when I ran the reference, it was from the Song of Solomon. Uh-huh. And it's in Psalms, in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, "Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Sometimes it's the little things that cause us trouble. The little things we say and do. The little seeds that we sow into other people's life. The little things that we think. I was thinking of small things that people have done or said to me and others and how they affected me. Sometimes we even say things to God, and then God uses them to show us areas in our life that need to change. In Kings 3, 5 through 14, Solomon asked God for wisdom. God granted him more wisdom than any other king. God said, "There will be no other person before or after you that shall arise like unto you." God also gave him riches and fame. The queen of Sheba told him, "The half has not been told me." But all of his wisdom fell short. He did not use it and apply it in his own life. It says that when he was old, his many wives turned his heart away from God. And so, and I have one or two, maybe three examples of things that, just little things that people said to me offhandedly. They'd had no idea. They had no idea. And what an impact these things have on people. Mm-hmm. The first thing I want to give is somebody was, I'm not going to give any names or any of anything, but somebody was talking to me, and they came out and said this. They initiated the conversation, and they were talking to me about somebody else, and they said, so-and-so does these things, and they say these things, and they were telling me what they thought about what this other person said and did. And then they said to me, they said, but, and I did thus and so, they said, about this person and what they said. And they said, and I did thus and so in their case. But then they turned to me and they said, but I didn't do that to you. They said, you're different. Your case is different. And I thought, I didn't say anything back. But I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why did they tell me all this stuff? I didn't need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Proverbs 6 and 2 it says, we are snared by the words of our mouth. Mm-hmm. In another incident, I had just met this person. I hadn't known, hadn't been acquainted with them very long. And she didn't know anything about me. I had never shared any incidents from my past, like things that I had done when I was younger or whatever. We had never talked about those things. And but I had noticed her talking to various people. And it was almost like she was giving them words from the Lord, you know. And so I thought, I wonder if the Lord's ever shared anything about me, mm-hmm, that, you know, she hasn't said. So one day I asked her, just out of the blue, I said, has God ever showed you anything about me? You know, and she said, and I was shocked when she said this, and I'll just come and tell you what she said. It was quite negative. She said, you're rebellious. And I'm going, and myself, no, I'm not. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I'm not a rebellious. And I thought, where did she get that? You know, and I thought of it. And it's, anyway, so then a couple of weeks later or so, she ups and says, Mary, God's going to reward you for your faithfulness. And I'm going, wait a minute. The other day you told me I was rebellious, and now you're telling me God's going to reward you for my faithfulness? Those things are on opposite ends of the pole. You can't have both of them happening at the same time.
Right.
You know, that didn't go together. And so, and then later she got up, and in front of, there were several people there. And she said, now, Mary, she said, don't expect to have, she said, your ministry is going to be small. So she said, don't ever think that you're going to speak in stadiums or that you're going to do this or that, because it's not going to happen. Your ministry, you're not going to have much of an impact on everybody, because people just, I mean, you just have one-on-one contact. And that's what she said to me. And I'm going, Lord, she doesn't know me at all, because she doesn't know that I've already sung in a big auditorium in Oklahoma City when I was young. She doesn't know that I went to another neighboring town and I lived next door to the guy that ran the radio station, and they were having a citywide event at the park one day, and he asked me to give a testimony and sing. I've already had my time in stadiums and in big auditoriums.
Right.
She didn't know that. And so, needless to say, from that time on, I didn't pay much attention to anything she had to say. You know? So the little things spoil the vines. Mm-hmm. Okay, now another thing. I pray things like this all the time. And I say, Lord, and one day I was praying, I said, Lord, you know, I don't have any agenda. I don't have any plans for my life. I just want to do what you put in front of me to do every day. Go, and I've told the Lord before, Lord, give me things to do that nobody else wants to do, and I'll go do them. And God keeps me busy.
There's a lot of those things, uh-huh, probably.
And so I had told the Lord this. Lord, I want what you want. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, then later that day, I went to a place where he had told me to go minister to people. I go to the nursing homes. And I had gone to this place to minister to some people. And I had finished talking to them. And I thought, well, I don't have anything pressing me today. I think I'll go in here. They have this little room. And they keep this table set up. And they have a puzzle out all the time. It had been a while since I'd worked on a puzzle. And I like to do puzzles. There's nothing sinful about working on a puzzle. Mm-mm. So I went in there, and I got involved in working on this puzzle. Every once in a while, it would come to me, you need to go home. And I'd think, why do I need to go home? I don't have anything pressing me at home. There's nobody at home that I need to pay attention to or anything. I live by myself, you know. There's nobody there. And so I just kept working on the puzzle. I was having fun, you know. Well, and so, but every once in a while, it came to me, you need to go home. Well, I just thought that was my own thoughts, you know, and so I just ignored it. And talking about how God talks to you about little things. Later, he said, Mary, he said, you told me you didn't have anything on your agenda and that you only wanted what I wanted, and he said, you didn't recognize my voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, you didn't recognize my voice, and you just kept doing what you wanted to do. He said, that I was just testing you. He said, your actions speak louder than your words sometimes. You need to make your actions and your words say the same thing. See, that's a small thing. And it was a, you know, I didn't even know, like I said, it didn't even dream to me that was God speaking to me. But just these little things like that. God, those little things are the foxes. If you can't recognize the voice of God, and we're going to talk about that. There's three voices that we need to know the difference in. We need to know the difference between our voice and our thoughts. We need to know the difference between the devil and God's voice. And we're going to talk about those things in a little while. But I just wanted to give you those examples because they are the springboard for the scriptures that I'm going to read and stuff today. So we are going to read some Proverbs from Solomon. In the first chapter, in the very first verse, it starts out by saying, the Proverbs of Solomon. So we're going to read a few verses of scripture from Proverbs today to start off. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 4:13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent, or marked by wisdom. or is discreet. And in verse 32 of that same chapter, it says, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof gets understanding. Mm-hmm. And another place it says, with all your wisdom get understanding. You know, get understanding. Understand what is being said to you, why that is being said. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ear to words of knowledge. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete. That's what perfect means in that. Complete. Thoroughly furnished or equipped with all good works. That's what God wants for us. So I pray all of the time that God will show me anything that I do that is not pleasing to him, and to forgive me and show me what it is and to take it out now, because I would rather deal with it now, even if I have to go through hard things, than to face it when I stand before God and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And like I said, I mean what I say when I pray to God and I ask these things. I mean it with all my heart. But see, it takes God sometimes showing you, just like that was that example where he spoke to me and he said, you didn't recognize my voice. Mm. See, and I meant what I said when I said, Lord, you know, when I say, Lord, I want you to show me this. See, he showed me that through this. You know, that's a personal example there to my life. But we're all in the same boat. We're all made out of flesh. Mm-hmm. And we can, these words are for correction and instruction in righteousness to equip us. God's doing us good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. And in John 16, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So I pray all the time, Spirit of truth, come and reveal error. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in John 10:2-4, it says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow. John 10:9 says, I am the door, Jesus said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then in John 10:7, right above that, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And like I said before, there are three voices, and you have to know who is speaking to you. The first one is your own voice. It's not just your own thoughts sometimes, but sometimes it is, you know, because the enemy can put thoughts in our head too, you know. So we need to know the difference between is it God or is it me, and who am I yielding my thought to? To who is influencing my thought, you know. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For so as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, Satan's voice. First of all, the Bible says the devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. And so in John 8:44, Jesus was speaking in the temple to the Pharisees, and he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father." Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of those times. You know, and Jesus had to be bold when he was talking to them, because they were actually, they were trying to catch him in something that he said. Mm-hmm. You know, they went about to try to catch him saying something. And he was bold here. He said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And in Revelation 12:9-11, "And the great dragon was cast out." This is what heaven means to me. It means the devil's not going to be there.
That's right. Praise God.
The two best things about heaven is we're going to be in the presence of Jesus for eternity, and the devil ain't going to be there. So that's what heaven means to me. So, you know, and they say, we preach from Genesis to Revelation. Well, this verse comes from Revelation 12:9-10. "And the great dragon, the devil, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And then verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God," hallelujah, "and of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast out," praise God, "which accused them before our God day and night." He's the accuser of our brethren. He'll stand before God and he'll say, just like he said, "Have you considered Job?" And sometimes God says, "Have you considered Mary? Have you considered this one? Have you considered that one?" He's the accuser of our brethren, mm-hmm. of the brethren. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Okay, so we need to know the devil's voice. Mm-hmm. We know that he is a liar and he can't speak the truth. So if the devil tells you anything, the very opposite is the truth.
Right.
So anyway, and now we're going to talk about God's voice.
Is now a good time to take a break for prayer requests, Mary?
Yeah.
Since we're switching gears.
Uh-huh.
We got a couple of praise reports. Our friend Mandy Wagner said, "Hi, Mary."
Hi.
And she also sent us a praise report. We've been praying for Troy Love. He's off the ventilator now, so we want to continue to pray for strength and complete healing for him. I also want to give a praise report about Joe Pyatt. We gathered together and had a prayer meeting for him on Sunday,
uh-huh.
and he was able to walk without his oxygen and unassisted up and down the room.
Well, good.
And his oxygen came back up on its own without him having to hook back up. So uh-huh. we want to continue to pray for his body to continue to get stronger.
Yes.
We want to continue to pray for Chris Carnahan and his wife Denise. He just finished the last round of the really strong chemo they were giving him. He went and got scans last night, and they will be getting the results for that today to see if the chemo was effective.
Mm-hmm.
My friend and one of my classmates, Carol Baggett, and her family need prayers. Her uncle, James Price, passed away Friday. We want to pray for Monica and her family. She lost a young little cousin that we had been praying for.
Mm.
and also she's at the doctor. She sent me an update. She's got to take it easy the next few days. She's got inflammation in her back from an old injury. So we want to pray for her. They're giving her 2 shots this morning to help with that. And we want to pray for our friend, Sister Judy Gifford, as well.